how big of an issue is it? I don't know if anybody paid attention to the thing that I showed before that said 11% of teens were vaping. That was 2017 data. So as of 2017, 11% of 12th graders said that they had vaped in the past month. That went up to 21%, and now in the past year, 25% of teens who are in 12th grade say that they have vaped in the past month. This year, 12% of 12th graders said that they vape almost daily. So that is 12% of our kids who are graduating from high school who are vaping daily. What do these teens think that they're vaping? Two-thirds of them think that they are vaping just flavoring. Is that true? What is in this stuff? Here is an explanation from not Juul, but a similar website that basically says, oh, it's mostly either vegetable glycerin or propylene glycol. That's kind of the delivery mechanism. And then there's a teeny tiny little bit of either flavoring or maybe a little nicotine in it. Also, there are a million internet guides to how to make your own vape juice. So a bunch of people just mix up their own stuff and put it in their Juul pod and reuse these things and are vaping them. You can get almost any flavor you can imagine. And most of these flavorings are approved as food grade items, but we have no idea what these flavoring chemicals do when you inhale them into your lungs. And a lot of these flavors are kind of targeting young people. So you can get, on here you can see things like bubblegum and donut flavor. You know, you can get things like Thin Mint and Tootsie Roll. Pretty much if you can imagine it, if somebody has made a vape flavor out of it. But most of the vapes do contain cancer-causing chemicals, volatile organic compounds, ultrafine particles, which are not well absorbed into the body and irritate the lungs, heavy metals like lead that stay in your body. Some of the flavorings themselves are actually known to cause lung disease. And then, of course, nicotine. So let's talk nicotine for a second and teens. The CDC sent some people out, bought a bunch of vape juice from different sites, some of which was labeled nicotine-free, some of which didn't have any labeling or didn't say nicotine on the label one way or the other. 99% of those contained nicotine. Because, of course, the people selling these products would like you to become addicted to them and buy more of them. Right? Good business model. Nicotine has significant impacts on teenage brains, which are still developing. It changes the way synapses are formed within the brain and increases addictive behaviors. It makes it harder for you to activate your pleasure centers the normal way. So things like hanging out with your friends, getting an A on a test, no longer activate your pleasure centers the way that they did before you started ingesting nicotine, because it's not as big of a rush as normal stuff is. So remember, adolescent brains keep developing until you're about 25. So nicotine has a much more significant impact on teenage brains than it does on adult brains because it can change those connections. Also has impacts on the frontal cortex of your brain, which kind of regulate things like your ability to pay attention and your mood and your impulse control. And so all of that gets kind of out of whack. And you reinforce the memories of the things that triggered you to vape or Juul. And those are the behaviors that get kind of programmed or promoted in your brain. Your brain's like, hey, I want to do that thing again because that was good. So nicotine use in adolescence does increase the likelihood that you're going to become addicted to other substances in the future because of those brain changes. Aside from the nicotine that's in there, I'm sure everybody's heard the news about all of the lung injuries that have been caused by vaping. As of October 15th, which was the most recent data released by the CDC, there have been 1,479 cases of lung injury that have been definitely connected to vaping, and 33 deaths. That's included 49 states. The only state that hasn't reported one is Alaska. And all of these people who are in that number reported vaping, pretty much all of them reported vaping THC oils. So this is likely more strongly linked to marijuana use than it is to other types of vaping. But we'll talk about a case in just a second that was a little bit different, not necessarily THC. So yes, kids are smart. Young people are smart. They know how to make alterations to their vape pods to get a higher buzz. So if you adjust the battery to superheat the vapor a little bit stronger, you get more THC or more nicotine in the vapor that you're releasing, which gives you more of a buzz. And so they do that. When you're vaping THC, yes, you do get sort of a similar kind of buzz, but you still get a little bit of a buzz with nicotine. It doesn't have quite the motor impairment that alcohol does, but it's definitely. So this was a young man, a 17-year-old from Dallas, Texas. His name was Tristan. He started feeling unwell in July. Started off as a little, kind of feeling like he had a cold. And then within 2 days, he was in the ICU where he spent 18 days with his lungs whited out like this. That was his normal lungs. This is his lungs after he had been vaping. His quote, which I think is pretty apropos, is, "I don't feel like I was doing it as much as others, so I really didn't think it could happen to me." Which pretty much sums up, I think, how all teenagers feel. Here was another young man. This was a young man who was 19 from Erie, Pennsylvania. This is a CT scan of his lungs. This is vape oil, the propylene glycol, that has cooled and solidified in his bronchial tree. And so this wasn't even injury related to THC. This was just the oil itself that gelled in his lungs. It's really hard to fix. Yeah, you have to go in and suck it all out and see if you can re-expand the lungs, and that is not an easy process. This man, young man, fortunately survived. So there's no real studies on vaping in teenagers at all, much less the interaction of vaping and other medications, because it's so new. It could. Now, there are studies that show that teenagers who have ADHD, who are treated with ADHD medications, are less likely to use tobacco products than teenagers who are not. But there's not really good data on how those interact with each other. Aside from lung injuries and nicotine, the vape itself can sometimes be a problem. It blows up sometimes because these are superheating coils that are in the little tiny machines. It starts fires sometimes. And vape cartridges or vape pods that have the liquid in them, remember these things are flavored like cotton candy and bubble gum, and they contain significant amounts of nicotine. And so if young children ingest those, they can lead to poisonings, which has actually been a significant increase in calls to poison control and ER visits over the past year. So if you know anybody who's vaping, be sure that they are keeping their cartridges out of reach of children. That's super important. Okay, so now we know about vaping. We feel like we got some data under our belt. How do you talk to your kids about it? When I talk to teenagers about it in my office, first I kick the parents out of the room, so that's not really an option for you because you are parents. But I always start out with asking, do you know anybody who vapes? Or have you seen anybody at school vaping or anywhere vaping? Because teenagers are way more likely to tell you about somebody else than they are to tell you the truth about themselves. And so that helps get the conversation going. And ask what they think about it. And because you might be surprised by the answer. You know, they might say, oh, it's super gross and da 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 da. And then you can have a good conversation about all these wonderful facts that you've learned about vaping.
Do you see, two questions. Have any of them told you that they do?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, another question. Do their parents vape?
So,
I'm trying to see if they're, like, you know how smoking, you know, usually.
Yeah. Right.
So I was just wondering.
That's a great question. I don't have solid data to support my answer to this,
but
I can tell
you,
in my experience, it is more likely for kids to tell me that they vape if their parents are smokers or vapers themselves. However,
not saying that they're the only ones. Mm-hmm.
Remember, by the time we're high school seniors, 25% have been vaping. And I don't know, I didn't point it out on that slide, but almost 10% of eighth graders had vaped in the past month this year. That's like two kids in your child's eighth grade class are vaping on a regular basis. So they are going to see it. It's going to be around them. And somebody at some point is going to offer it to our children. And so another thing that's really good to do when we're talking to our kids about it is kind of role play. Like, what are some things that you can do when somebody offers that to you? What are some things that you can say? And try to help them think up stuff that matches their personality, you know, some funny way to refuse or some way that doesn't make them feel like they're rejecting their friends. Because, you know, peer pressure is real. Yeah. And so we need scripts in mind that we can pull on when we are in situations that help us not reject a friend while still making the choice that we want to make. And, you know, that takes practice to really lock it in there. So try to bring it up with kids regularly. How many people know teenagers that love lectures? Yeah? So asking questions and kind of gathering their opinion and then, you know, asking questions like, well, do you want to know more about what that is or how that affects your body? Kind of gauging their interest. And just like Dolores has said with talks about our bodies and the health of our bodies, having 100 little conversations is often way better than having one like, let's sit down and talk about Juul. Kind of conversation, because that gets like, ugh, mom, like, I don't want to, kind of pushback. You know, speak to kids in the way that they want to hear. A lot of teens respond to texts better than they do to sit-down conversations, too, so you can be texting the teenagers in your life, like, hey, I just heard this thing about da-da-da-da. Have you seen this? Like, let me send you this news article about how this kid was in the hospital. That being said, all teenagers think that they're invincible and they're going to be healthy forever, so you don't want to play up the health aspects of Juul. What you want to play up is the social aspects. So how do you think that's going to affect your athletic performance? Or do you have friends who don't vape, and what do they think about people who do vape? You know, trying to play up those connections. Also, like, teens are rebellious, right? You want to kind of play into that teenage rebellion. Like, the big tobacco industries are trying to get you hooked on this stuff, which is true. Like, what are you going to do about that? Are you going to let them do that to you? try to use those good teenage angst moments in your favor, right?
And I were talking on the way up, and she's like, you know, Juul
homeschooling. It's about like how you have these so important conversations and these tools to equip you. And like all the things you just said, I'm like, man, I got to go home and use four of those because I forgot about those four or I didn't know about those four. And so like I just want to say I love you and you're amazing and brilliant. And the second thing is when you said like, I said, when you are talking to teens in your office and you send parents out, and we don't have the luxury to do that, like, we really do. That's what I want y'all to remember, is, like, these people at this church, your kids' youth family group leaders, or all of these five people that we are trying so hard to put in their way, both in good ways and in, like, this, like, they are the ones that can have these conversations that you can't. Right? And you can talk to those people. Like, I know who my girls' five people are, and sometimes I'm like, hey, I need you to check on Lauren about this thing, because, like, it's not going to be me this week. So, like, when you hear this
yes.
and all these things, like, think that there are going to be five people in your kid's life who are the people that you get kicked out of the room for. Also think, like, can I be, like, am I a one of the five people for somebody else, and like listen to these things and be like, oh, like I can have a conversation with somebody who's in the youth group right now or in the track space right now, and like you can be there. So sorry for my interruption.
Oh, that's great. Back. Yes. That's why we're here, right?
Yeah,
excellent.
We can't do this by ourselves. And we all don't have pediatrician of the world.
Hopefully you all have great pediatricians.
No, you're good. You don't mind us asking questions, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, bring it. I'm happy to help out. Okay, let's talk for a second about what to do if you find out that your teenager is vaping or you're preteen, because that happens sometimes. Or if you know somebody or you're volunteering with youth.
Preteen and just, what, 2 or 3 years? Like,
yeah.
If it's
right.
That way.
Absolutely. Yes. So, or if, what if you are the person talking to the youth and you find that they are vaping? What do you do now? One, please tell their parents. Yes. And encourage them to quit. There's an app for that, because there's apps for everything now. My favorite one is Quit Start, which is if you go to the teensmokefree.gov website, so that is targeting teenagers specifically. So there's another app for that if you know an adult who needs to quit and needs some support with that. Try to incorporate technology to your advantage. You know, speak in the languages that teenagers prefer. Of course, you want to get rid of all of the supplies and just make it hard to access all of that. Nicotine is a real drug. It is the third most addictive substance on the planet. Basically, it's just behind crack and heroin. And withdrawal is real. So you should understand that if you have a teenager or know somebody who has been vaping regularly and is trying to quit, that it is likely that they're going to have headaches and hunger and be cranky and feel restless and have trouble sleeping and not be able to concentrate and maybe get depressed and maybe be angry for no reason at all or just irritable. And that is all part of getting that drug out of your system and your brain trying to figure out how to function when it doesn't have that stimulus anymore. And that is hard to go through. And so you should absolutely talk to a doctor because it is hard to quit nicotine. And there are medicines that help with that, that make it a lot easier. It's not easy at all. It's never easy. But it is doable, and there are things that we can do to make that process more smooth. And then, you know, talk with the person who's trying to quit and create an action plan, because triggers are a real thing. You want to have a plan in place when those triggers occur. So what are you going to do? Chew gum, text a friend, you know, have something around that keeps your hands busy or your mouth busy, because vaping is as much a motor trigger as it is a mental thing. And so you want to have something to interrupt that habit. And the game is starting. So does anybody have questions? Like, your kids are going to see something about some kind of nicotine, so be prepared for it.
What is the right age to start having conversations with your kids about cigarette smoking?
Vaping, juuling, cigarettes, cigaretting.
Like, when you have little ones, when do you start being, you know, preventative and talking to them about that?
So I talk with my kids already about it, and they are 6 and 8, because school is talking to them about it. It's Red Ribbon Week at their school this week, and so they're talking about drugs at school. They've seen people smoking before, and so I say to them things like, you know, do you think that's good for your body? And no, it's not. Here's why it's not good for your body. And then also, our bodies are a temple. And we are meant to protect our bodies and to treat them well, because they are a temple of God. And so putting things into your body that destroy it are not honoring God. And so that's kind of the approach we take in my family. And then, you know, we also, you know, my kids are unique because they've seen the kids in Kenya as well who sniff glue. And so they've kind of had that experience of seeing that those kids are, like, not, their brains are not functioning the way that you would expect. And so we've had conversations about all kinds of drugs, including sniffing glue, and how that changes the way that your brain works and how that's not good for your brain and is also not honoring God. And we talk about the reasons why people do that sometimes, because they're sad or they're hungry or they're lonely. Or they don't feel like people love them or things like that. And so we try to be compassionate for people who do that and not be like, ew, that's disgusting, and not focus on the disgust aspect of it, but try to work some compassion for people who do that into the conversation. But also, we're pretty clear that it's not healthy. So I think there are small ways that you can talk to young children about it, and you don't have to get into big detail. But it's always okay to answer a kid's questions. And, you know, if you see cigarette butts on the ground, you know, we don't touch that. Here's why. That's not good for us. That kind of thing.
I think what's so hard about this is that it's so sneaky. You know, there's, you don't have cigarette breath, or you don't have the
can't
alcohol
smell
in your
it.
Breath, or you can't see somebody who drinks it. Like, I know someone who does when you can't even see the vapor.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Isn't it true that that's
she doesn't into like asbestos or something?
There can
it's
be.
Really not like a steam, it's really like a chemical.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the vapor is not always visible, and there can be fine particles that irritate the lungs, similar to asbestos.
So they really don't have any breath, or there's no way to tell from their breath that you can't smell like that?
I saw on the Today
Sometimes
show
you can smell the
same,
flavoring.
That they installed in the bathrooms, which is where most kids vape, they installed these machines that can detect the vapor, and then it, like, sends a message to, like, the principal. Did you see that one? So he'll know.
Well, my husband does this.
And that's really common now in school to put them in there.
It's all
because,
beforehand,
you would know.
Is amazing. It's just, this has become more... I won't say more than, this is everywhere, not more than, this is a form of a drug, but not what they're used to. This is much more discreet, it's easy to hide, you put it in your pocket, you can't put a lit cigarette in your pocket, you put, and like you said, you first look at the, they take it out or something, it looks like a USB drive. And it's
sharp.
Yeah, and so it can be, you know, they, you know, he's gone to so many trainings, and they, I don't know if they've installed those things yet, but he was telling me about it the other day, that they now have sensors just for that.
Mm-hmm. Just for vapor.
Smoking, but that.
Just vapor.
And they can, through their security system, that they can be notified.
And that's a big reason why people are vaping THC as well, because you can't smell it on your clothes. It's much less likely to get you caught.
Conversation that you're having with Ellie at this point about health
and health and, you know, what God thinks about our bodies. And if you're having that conversation when they're that little, then imagine when they're 17, you're having that conversation about a whole swath of things that fall under the same umbrella, but it's not this very awkward lecture anymore. It is the normalized conversation that you've been having in your household since the time that they can remember, and it's not, it's like, I just, like, if I want to change something that Lauren is doing now that we haven't had conversations about and based our, like, you know, how we live as a family, like, that doesn't, it doesn't work anymore when they're 16 and 17 or 18, or if it does, it's really hard, like, I don't know how that works. And so, like, y'all are just, I just want to say y'all are brilliant to be here, because even if it's not this topic, it's the conversation and the approach, because it's going to be something different, but if you start it now, like, y'all changing the trajectory of...
My kids ask me about cigarettes, but they've never seen this, probably, or didn't notice it. But they've asked me about them, and I give it to them straightly. I mean, I tell them that David's grandmother died from them. I was like, she died because she couldn't breathe. And I also tell them, like, it's dirty. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes you dirty. And you smell, I tell them, like, you smell like it. You, of course, it's just cigarettes. It's like, you smell like it. Your house smells like it. Your car smells like it. And, like, they notice it now. They tell me, like, dude, someone's sniffing, Mom. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, like, you're not mean to people. I say that to them. Like, don't be mean to people because they smoke. I'm like, it's their choice. But it's dirty. It's dirty, and you can die. And that's what I tell them. But my kids handle, they can handle stuff like that. I know not every kid can. Some kids, like, would probably bawl if somebody died from smoking. But they really are, like, the fact that they knew somebody who was a family member who died from it, I mean, it was pretty bad. I mean, she died, it's a prolonged, oh, it's awful.
Lauren, thank you.
Thank you.